This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires.
What's up, y'all? It is the 3 o'clock hour, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. I've got a great guest for us this afternoon. He was my first guest in this special segment, and so it's only fitting that in this lead up, these final hours before the big 2024 election and before the tax fight of 2025 kicks off on November 6th, that he joins me today. Cardi, if you can make sure that he's added to the stream. There he is. The famous Morris Pearl, former managing director at BlackRock, one of the world's largest investment firms, one of the original patriotic millionaires, now the board chair for the PMs. Welcome back, Morris. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Great to be in your show.
Listen, folks, because Morris has done this so many times, I asked him before we came on, could we take a couple of callers if you have questions for our good friend Morris? And he said, indeed, yes. So a very special episode here where you can ask questions of Morris or myself, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But as we are, you know, under 48 hours from potentially knowing who the next president is, Morris, let's start there. What are the biggest differences between the two candidates when it comes to tax policy?
I don't know if we're going to know who the next president is in 48 hours.
This is true. Maybe.
It might take a few minutes longer than that.
Yes.
But I think the biggest difference is that one side, they think the way to help people do better is by giving more money to rich people and things somehow that will trickle down to everyone else. And the other side thinks the way to help all the everyone else do better is to send money to everyone else.
Pretty basic. Do you give more money to rich people, or whether that's in a tax break? That's one of the things that I always try to explain to people, Morris, is that from an economic perspective, a tax break for the rich is just like the government wrote them a check.
Yeah. And even better, you don't have to wait for the check to come in. You just keep the money you already have and not pay taxes. So it works out great getting a tax break. That is the major reason why people like me are wealthier now than we were back in 2017. The companies we own stock in make profits and pay half the taxes they did back then, or a lot less tax than they did back then. Mm-hmm. Therefore, our stocks are worth more. Warren Buffett explained it, very simply 6 years ago. It's not that complicated.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about recent history, because Donald Trump passed an absolutely huge tax cut for the wealthiest Americans and corporations. Now, in order to make this palatable, of course, he included a little drippings for us middle class folks. Can you explain to us what that Trump tax cut did for the richest among us? And I'm not talking about folks, you got a few million bucks in your 401k, or you're looking to leave a few million bucks to your kids or pay for their first house or Nope. Morris and I are talking about really, really, really wealthy people and corporations. What's Donald Trump's record there?
Well, they're hugely richer than they were back then because they're paying hugely less taxes. The corporate tax rate went from about 35% to about 21%. That's a huge decrease. That's like giving a humongous raise to all those people that own stock in those corporations, like a 40% raise. And that's like, yeah, that's one of the reasons why some people are a lot richer now than they were back then. And yeah, there were things that affected the taxes of other people who aren't rich investors. Some up, some down. Net result is, yeah, some people are making a few dollars a month more than they were back then. But it's the richest people who are getting the vast, vast, vast majority of all of the benefits of the 2017 tax cut.
Folks, this is Morris Pearl. He is the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, my special guest today on this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Donald Trump keeps saying, like, I'm going to use tariffs to pay for everything that we need and solve all of America's problems. What are tariffs at this level going to do for regular working middle class Americans, Morris?
Well, if they're successful, they will raise the prices of the things that the regular Americans buy. Mm. That's the whole point of a tariff, is to raise prices so the people making the stuff can make more profits. If you're trying to sell blue jeans and you're competing against someone importing them from China, the tariff will make the person have to charge higher prices so you can charge higher prices for yours. And that way, instead of getting the low-priced blue jeans from China, the Americans who want to buy blue jeans will have to pay a higher price. Mm. And then they'll be willing to buy your blue jeans because they're both be the same price and you can charge more.
Yeah, it's really, there's this really interesting interaction that can happen over some time, Morris, that you're describing with tariffs, right? So that the importing companies that sell those goods in the United States, they will be selling those previously cheaper goods at a higher price. That means that American companies, their similar product, you may be more inclined to buy because now it's all more expensive. And oh, by the way, it may have this domino effect where everything becomes more expensive because we get into a trade war, and or domestically based companies will actually raise their prices because the entire price pressure is upward and you end up with things like massive inflation and recessions. I mean, these are all possibilities.
That's the whole point of a tariff, is to make prices higher, to increase the profits of businesses in the United States.
This is the point. This is the very point. Let's take a quick call. We got Dick from Madison. Please say hello to Morris. And what is your question, Dick?
Good afternoon. Okay, let's carry this out and say that he was elected and the economy starts cratering simply because of what you just said. And then suddenly the customer base has no money to spend. I mean, how good is that for business if 3/4 of this country is so broke they can't keep money circulating by buying anything?
Dick, I think this is the magic question. Morris?
That's the point that we, the Patriotic Millionaires, try to make all the time. You know, what I say in every speech about wage policies is the guy who owns the bar cares a lot more about how much beer money all the people sitting in the bar have on Friday night than about the wages of the one guy standing there pouring the beer. And yeah, that's why we honestly believe, the Patriotic Millionaires that are business people and investors, that what's good for having a robust middle class is good for everybody. We would rather build businesses and invest money in a country filled with people who have enough money to buy stuff. It's very short term to try to think that you want to be greedy now and get more money now and not leave any for everyone else. So, I mean, I think tariffs are just a bad idea for everybody. And, you know, I think very few people benefit from tariffs, except if you are a manufacturer of something and you're trying to compete with somebody in another country manufacturing that same thing and selling it to Americans for less money. Those business owners could benefit from a tariff.
But ultimately not the middle class people buying the products, because we will be paying more across the board, which over the longer, medium to long term, makes it even difficult for those American based manufacturers. It is a cyclical phenomenon. Kamala Harris has said that she doesn't want to raise taxes and won't raise taxes on anybody that makes $400,000 a year or less. Do you think that that makes sense? Do you think it's a fair cutoff? Should it be higher or lower? What do you think, Morris?
Well, Yeah, I think there should be a cutoff. I mean, we recommended a slightly higher number, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the detail is that important. I mean, it is important for people who earn $400,000.
Yes.
But I think the point is that we want to raise taxes on the rich.
Yes.
And where, exactly how you define that, I mean, $1 million, $10 million, whatever. We want to raise tax on the rich people. We don't want to raise taxes on people that are living paycheck to paycheck, which honestly is almost everybody in America, unfortunately.
She has also said that she supports increasing the Social Security payroll tax cap, which people talk about as scrapping the cap. So my first question, Morris, is what is that? And it enrages me to hear people like Eric Hovde, who's running for Senate in the state of Wisconsin, and other fiscal hawks talk about raising the age of Social Security to better fund Social Security when we stop assessing a Social Security tax, payroll tax, at $140,000. Makes no sense. Please explain scrapping the cap and if this is a good idea, Morris.
Well, sure. The way the Social Security works is it's a thing that's funded by a special tax just for Social Security. The tax rates are a certain percentage between the employer and the employee. It's like 12 point something percent from zero to 140,000, and then zero above 140,000. You don't pay any more.
So if you make over $140,000 a year, which would be, you know, wealthier middle class folks, and then of course the wealthiest, you don't pay a single dollar in Social Security tax for your $140,001st dollar. Is that
correct? And all the dollars. When I was an investment banker, we got an end of year, we got a bonus paid in January. They deducted $10,000 or so for security. I was the only Social Security I ever paid because I hit the cap in January when I got a bonus check for the previous year. That was it. I just thought, oh, Social Security, a one-time thing you pay in January for $2,000 a year, you know? And yeah, so it hits a much higher percentage for people that work all year than for rich people. Rich people pay a very low percentage because they only pay the $10,000 or so, and that's it. Regular people that work all year round, they pay 6 or 7% on their entire income of every paycheck.
And of course, neither Donald Trump nor Eric Hovde want to scrap the cap. That is a Kamala Harris, Tammy Baldwin position. We've got so much more coming up in this next segment with our special guest, Morris Pearl, the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a prior managing director at BlackRock, the world's largest investment firm. We're going to keep talking about tax and wage policy, all the stuff that hits you in your pocketbook. You're not going to want to miss it. And why tomorrow's election is your opportunity to protect your pocketbook. We come back on today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is in the 3 o'clock half hour block. That means it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. My special guest today is Morris Pearl. He is the board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires and a former managing director of BlackRock, the world's largest investment firm. We've been talking about Donald Trump's record on taxes. Let me summarize. Tax cuts for the wealthiest. The 100 millionaire sets tax cuts for the largest, most consistently profitable corporations and pittance to the rest of us. And it's only going to get worse if Donald Trump is reelected. More tax cuts for the billionaire bros. We may create the world's first trillionaire. More corporate tax cuts, which means less tax cuts for working people. By definition, you give one billionaire one tax cut, that's a whole tons of thousands of hundreds of thousands of us that can't get that same tax break. Why would we be giving billionaires bigger tax breaks. It defies any reasonable explanation at all. Morris knows all about it. Let's dig into some of those tax questions, and then we'll take your questions and or texts. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Kamala Harris supports raising the capital gains tax rate and taxing, quote, unrealized gains. So as wealth is increasing, even if people haven't sold the asset that created that wealth increase, she thinks we should tax that. For those not familiar with this or familiar with what capital gains are, can you explain what this is and what she's proposing?
Let me talk about income. Your income is the money you get in your paycheck every week with taxes deducted from it. That's how most people get their income. And every week, taxes are deducted. Some people, like investors, get their income from just sort of sitting here watching the numbers and your screen go up as the stock prices go up. And from the stock market, we don't pay any taxes on that. That's the secret. That doesn't count as income until you sell the stock. I don't need to sell the stock ever. I can just withdraw money from my brokerage account, run a negative cash balance, and do that for my entire life. It's called buy, borrow, die. And it works great. That's how Elon Musk makes tons of money and pays no tax at all. We only have an income tax in our country. If you don't have an income, you don't have to pay any income taxes. It's that simple. You don't need an army of accountants or lawyers or anyone else. If you don't want to pay income tax, just don't have an income. It's simple enough.
Yeah, this is one of those things that, again, a dollar created from work and a dollar created from wealth are economically identical. Why we tax work more heavily than we tax the dollar created from wealth, again, defies any reasonable explanation. I do get questions all the time, Morris, about but the deficit. When we talk about tax and wage policy and trying to address our deficit, how does all of this fit together? Because if we start cutting taxes meaningfully for the middle class and maybe even giving a tax vacation for people that are only earning poverty level wages, what does that do for our deficit? Can we still pay? Can we still manage our deficit? Can we pay it down? Yes. How is that going to work?
Yes, I'm not worried about our deficit. The government of the United States creates dollars. They create more every year. The total number of dollars in existence goes up. When you have dollars in your pocket that you use to pay for something, or dollars in your bank account or whatever, that just means that's a symbol for how much stuff you're able to buy. As the total amount of stuff in our country goes up, as the population goes up, the total number of dollars in existence should go up. And it does. And that's been happening for decades, and it's going to happen in the future too. So I'm honestly not worried about this deficit. It's been going up since before I was born, and it's not been a problem. And it's going to go up for my granddaughter's entire lifetime too, and it's not going to be a problem for her either. It's the way of thinking about it is just not necessary, because the United States government is not like your personal checking account, because they're allowed to create more dollars. They're kind of different than you and I in that we don't create dollars. We can only spend the dollars that we get somehow or other.
Thanks so much for that, Morris. Really appreciate it. Got another question from one of our texters that says, can we talk about a little bit about what it was like back in earlier times? Was our tax policy, you know, coming out of the New Deal into the 50s and 60s, how was our tax policy? How did it look then? And were Americans doing better then, middle class Americans doing better back then?
Back in the 1940s, the government actually made music videos about how patriotic it is to pay taxes. And people who are the high earners pay far higher tax than they do now, 70, 80, over 90% for the very highest earners. And they were perfectly happy doing that. And the country was doing great. Well, as long as you were white, the country was doing great.
Yes.
Black people, not so much. But that it worked very well, and people were perfectly happy with that. And there was tons of investments. We built interstate highways. We sent astronauts to the moon. We did all kinds of crazy things, building universities and hospitals and everything else, where taxes were 70 and 80 and 90% of the highest earners. The very guy who's complaining the most about taxes going up paid 70% taxes and got a hospital named after him right down the street here. It worked great. The other side is just wrong. You know, President Trump said, you know, we're lower taxes and we're going to stop abandoning factories. People don't abandon profitable factories.
Yes.
And they don't pay tax on them at all either. So it just is a lie that somehow reducing rich people's taxes is the way to succeed.
Yeah, it doesn't make any gosh darn sense. There's only one candidate that promised sustained tax relief for middle class and working class folks, and that's Kamala Harris. The other guy's just billionaire giveaways. That's it. More burden on each and every one of us. My special thanks to Morris Pearl, board chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, my friend, and now yours, for sharing his wisdom with us. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. Dom Salvia comes up next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I have to break some news. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Brostoff, who is a member of the county board and I believe also a former assembly person, has committed suicide. He apparently shot himself this afternoon in Greenfield Park. Again, that is Jonathan Brostoff, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor. And I believe... Excuse me. I want to get this correct. City of Milwaukee, District 3 Alderman. He was elected to the City of Milwaukee Common Council in November of 2022. Again, this is just breaking news coming in right now. Jonathan Brostoff elected to the 3rd Aldermanic District for the City of Milwaukee in November 2022. Has killed himself. He shot himself this afternoon in Greenfield Park. Absolutely heartbreaking. He also served previously as Wisconsin 19th District State Assembly Representative since January 2015. I know Jonathan. I have worked with him. He was a lovely, lovely man. He has a family. Our hearts go out again to Jonathan Brostoff's family. Again, Milwaukee Alderman Jonathan Brostoff has died. He killed himself, shot himself this afternoon. Again, our sympathies with Mr. Brostoff's family and the entire Milwaukee extended family. I know I've gotten some messages from folks that work with him at the city that have worked with him at the county. Again, absolutely heartbreaking. Our sympathies to the Brostoff family and the larger Milwaukee family. He will be remembered as a tireless public servant. I am now welcoming to our show, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Thank you so much, Madam Lieutenant Governor, for making time with us this afternoon. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. How are you doing in this last run-up to the big day?
You know, we're all across the state of Wisconsin talking to folks. I did just want to acknowledge what you said earlier. I served with Jonathan. I wanted to also give my sympathy out to his family as well.
Thank you, Madam Lieutenant Governor. What a difficult moment, losing anyone in this way. But Jonathan, again, well-known, beloved by all on both sides of the aisle. He was the reasonable man that you hope to work with when you work in politics. Kind to all. I appreciate that, Madam Lieutenant Governor. I know you are calling in from the car because, again, you are going all across the state today. It is certainly very busy. Where are you? What are you feeling? What's the vibe out there that you're seeing from folks that are getting excited to go vote? What are you seeing from people on the street?
So I have been, again, all across the state of Wisconsin trying to make sure that I can knock on my own doors as well. So just today I was in West Bend and then in Grafton. And then now I am currently in Greendale and I am going to finish up my day in Waukesha. And every single one of these folks, they are launching canvasses from all across the state. We have over 250 staff members across the state of Wisconsin, and volunteers just multiply those efforts all across the state. And so it's just really exciting because they're talking about electing Kamala Harris, making sure we reelect Tammy Baldwin, because that is so critical for us here in Wisconsin. Senator Baldwin has been just a tireless champion for so many industries here in Wisconsin. You know, she, as one of the first Democrats to be endorsed by the Farm Bureau here, it's really something that we want to make sure that she continues to do the work back in D.C.
Yeah, she has been not just an advocate for farmers, though the endorsement of the Farm Bureau, which was such a huge deal, especially when juxtaposed against Eric Hovde's what farm bill? I didn't read the farm. I don't know about the farm bill. What? But more broadly than that, not just her total competence as compared to her opponent, but Senator Baldwin's support for every major employer and industry in the state of Wisconsin to ensure our middle class families are paid fairly and have clean air and clean water to breathe and to consume and to recreate in. I mean, she just up and down the list of issues, whether we're talking about reproductive rights, care for our natural resources, or support for the middle class here in the state of Wisconsin, I think the choice is clear. Do voters seem energized around particular issues, Madam Lieutenant Governor?
So, yes, there are many issues that we're talking to people on the doors about. Wisconsin is really interesting that, you know, abortion access is still top of mind, particularly for women. And they know that Hovde, since 2012, has been a staunch opponent of abortion rights. I don't care how he's trying to dance away from it right now. And they know that Senator Baldwin has authored the Women's Protection Act so that they would be able to have access to contraception, to IVF, to abortion services all across the U.S., not just in Wisconsin. She's been a leader on these types of issues. And so making sure that voters know about that is really important, but it is motivating people to go to the polls. I will tell you one small story. My mom, she's going to be 80 this year, grew up in a very conservative household, but I was born in 1975. Roe was passed in 1973. She remembers what it was like pre-Roe. And these older women who remember what that looked like, they are going to the polls and they are going to be voting for Democrats to make sure that we do not go back. And that includes, Vice President Harris, but it absolutely includes Senator Baldwin.
100%. Tammy has been so out front on reproductive freedom, for so long, as has Vice President Harris. A lot of commonalities there in terms of the consistency of their position. Sarah, Madam Lieutenant Governor, my special guest right now. I've got a great guest host on Mondays in the 3:30 block. His name's Dom Salvia. He's got that little show right after mine called the Dom Salvia Show. I know Dom's been sitting here like a jumping bean wanting to ask you a question or two. Dom, your questions for the Lieutenant Governor.
Yes, Sarah, great to speak with you once again. I appreciate you running around, getting the vote out, getting people motivated to the polls. I'm curious, this amendment, this constitutional amendment question, have you come across, are people asking about it? What's the consensus? Is it confusing to them? What are you finding out when you're out talking to people?
So a lot of people are not aware of the constitutional amendment. And if your listeners are not aware, there is a constitutional amendment on the ballot that changes one word of our Constitution. We already require individuals to be citizens to vote in Wisconsin. But even though this may seem like an innocuous constitutional amendment, by changing that one word, it could affect how people have to prove their citizenship. So if you think about somebody like my husband, who's a naturalized citizen, it may make somebody like that, it may make it more difficult for them to prove citizenship if they don't have something like a birth certificate from the U.S. So we are recommending no on that constitutional amendment. We believe that the language that we already have in Wisconsin Constitution is sufficient, and that we do not want to disenfranchise anybody across the state of Wisconsin.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, a lot of talk on the other side about election integrity and so forth. What's the experience been? What have people said about whether or not their votes will count, access to the polls? Are folks concerned about that?
So we have heard a lot of misinformation coming out of the Republican camps about safety within this election. But we know that our clerks, our county clerks, are working just overtime to make sure that every vote is counted. These are professionals who have done this before. They take their jobs very, very seriously. And we know that it is a free and fair election within Wisconsin. To make sure you go out to vote, to make sure that your vote is counted. And if you are unaware and you are not registered yet, know that we have same day voter registration on Tuesday. So find out where your polling place is and bring your identification to make sure that you can register and then vote on that day.
Sarah, and thank you for everything you're doing for the door knocking. You're hitting up some of my favorite neighborhoods. Got great friends from West Bend, Grafton, Greendale. You tell all those folks we say hi from Civic Media, and we hope that everybody gets out to vote. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, for stopping by the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. Happy Election Eve, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. And everybody remember, you got to get out to vote.
Again, folks, that's Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Boy, great to have her on. And don't worry, the fun will just keep rolling because I got my very good friend Dom Salvia with me for this half hour. Dom, how are you feeling this election eve?
I got to tell you, Maggie, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling good. I'm maybe it's just because I know we're close to the end. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I can. That's something to feel good about. Indeed.
My daily ritual of mass deletions of emails.
Yes.
I'll have more time on my hands.
Yes.
But no, I think Harris is doing a great job. The messaging has been great. I've seen. I saw her over the weekend on the YouTubes here in Wisconsin. I thought she did a great job there, and especially when we compare and contrast to the other guy. And what that messaging has been like. It is a stark difference. It's, you know, it's come together. People, if you don't agree with me, seat at the table kind of thing versus, you know, everyone's my enemy. And, oh, yeah, you can shoot through the media to get me. That's okay with me. And the weird action on the microphone. I mean, what are we, 12 years old? It is just the Trump thing is just the weirdest. And it's getting weirder. And darker every moment of every day.
Well, perhaps the best way to summarize Dom's observations about, we're going to take some sound here, Cardi. This is going to be cut 18. Dom's observations about the state of the closing arguments from both candidates, perhaps best summed up by Vice President Harris's appearance on Saturday Night Live. Let us take a listen.
Garbage truck, right? I don't really laugh like that, do I?
A too, babe. Now, Kamala, take my Pamela. The American people want to stop the chaos
and end the dramala
with a cool new stepmamala. Kick back in our pajamalas and watch a rom Kamala.
Like Legally Blondela.
And start decorating for Christmas. Fa la 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 la.
Or Happy Hanukkah.
What do we always say? Keep Kamala and carry on a la.
Oh,
that was great.
It was just so perfect. Mm-hmm. Folks, you want to give your thoughts this election eve? Dom and I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. In all seriousness, a candidate that can laugh at themselves.
Right. Self-deprecating a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, a candidate that again, seems accessible, seems so familiar. Even if you hate every single one of the Democratic policies, which I guarantee you, you don't. You just don't know what they are. You can't debate the fact that she's a middle-class lady who grew up, worked her butt off, and has only had one client, the people. Like, we got the guy with the golden toilets and the weird hand gestures by a microphone. Dom, help me out here, buddy, because that's where we're at.
That is where we're at. And she is comes across as the everyday people. And I thought the SNL skit was great. I got to be honest, though. I watched some more of the SNL.
Yes.
And Tim Kaine came out. I was like,
that skit was hilarious.
And I was one of those guys. I was like, wait.
Did you know who he was?
I did, but I didn't remember his name.
Oh, my God. I knew it was Tim. I'm like, that's Tim Kaine.
I knew it was Tim. And then they give an option, a couple of last names.
Yes.
And then one of them was Tim Scott. I'm like, oh, I knew it wasn't any of the names they gave because I know it's very specific.
Not Tim Scott either.
No.
We got to take care of some business. That's Dom Salvio. You guys want to let us know what you're feeling, what you're thinking, your prognostications on this election eve, give us a call. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. More fun ensues.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, y'all? I'm Maggie Dawn. Happy Election Eve. You're going to want to be a voter. This one definitely counts. Now, while you can skip election, like you don't have to vote for each race on a ballot, I highly recommend you don't, because we got new maps here in the state of Wisconsin. We have new congressional maps here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got a female candidate for president. Don't just vote on the top of the ticket. Vote all the way down the ticket, but you can leave things blank. And it is not a test. Remember, you can bring materials in and it's not a test. You can bring a friend in. You can phone a friend. Do whatever you need to do to make sure you are a voter and an informed voter at that. And of course, Civic Media has got you covered. If you are still confused about the new districts, the candidates running in the state assembly and Senate, our very own Dan Schaefer, writer of the Recombobulation, our political editor here at Civic Media, has them all broken down. You can check that out at civicmedia.us/voter guide. Join us, of course, for our special election night coverage. Dom's going to be there. I'm going to be there. It starts at 6 o'clock. All your favorite Civic Media folks will be there. Don't be square. You need to be there, too. Your final thoughts and impressions, predictions, all welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But one of my most favorite longtime politicians / policy wonks from Milwaukee went off. Howard Fuller absolutely mic dropping, talking to voters just this past week. And this is Dr. Howard Fuller, education advocate, longtime advocate and proponent, supporter of Milwaukee Public Schools. He helped bring choice here in Milwaukee many moons ago. He doesn't even recognize what we've got now in terms of choice and voucher schools, defunding of public education. Let's listen to what Howard Fuller had to say to voters this cycle.
Americans have watched
not the quite right one. Nope.
The world would be better off with Saddam Hussein.
Nope. 100%. This is cut number 12. So if you can turn that off, Cardi, we're still working through these. Hang on. All right.
I'm a single issue voter. My single issue is Donald Trump. He is the most despicable ass human being walking the face of the earth. And all of y'all out here talking about 3 cents for gas. This man wants to destroy your personhood. And so there's got to be at least one of us out here that ain't explaining about the earned tax credit or the child tax. We're saying that this is a white supremacist who is trying to destroy everything that we have fought for over the last 50 years. And I ain't got time to explain to you every damn detail about policy. This man cannot be the president of the United States. We can talk about policy after we defeat his ass. You feeling me?
So I'm feeling you, Howard.
Yeah, baby.
Leave it to Howard Fuller to be like, this is what y'all need to hear. He is a white supremacist who wants to destroy your personhood.
Wow.
He could be talking to black folks, brown folks, women folks, LGBTQIA folks. How about middle class folks? You ain't wealthy or able to cut him a big old fatty check. He don't care about you. Dom, your reactions to Dr. Fuller, I thought he nailed it.
He absolutely nailed it and so spot on. It is hard to talk about any of the other ancillary issues. When you think about policy and all the expectations at all. Kamala's got to do this and Kamala's got to articulate that. Are you kidding me? Just as the doctor said, this guy is coming after your personhood. He is a white supremacist. I mean, doesn't even matter what his policies are if that's where you're starting with.
He's a white supremacist.
But he kept the trains running on time? What are you talking about? And someone like that with a character like that, doesn't matter what he claims the policies would be, they would change in an instant if it benefits him politically or gets put money in his pocket.
Money in his pocket, yep. Power behind him. That's what he's going to do. It doesn't have squat to do with you. If you think it does, you've been suckered, okay? Everybody in a long con never thinks they've been conned. That is the very point of the long con. If you are a Trump voter and you work for a living, you are getting conned. You are the mark in the longest political con that this nation has seen in modern American history. You don't think you're being conned because the con's working. But trust me, you are. This guy doesn't care about you, doesn't care about your family farm, doesn't care about your kids. He doesn't even really care about the border. He doesn't. All he cares about is you voting for him so he can gain more power and money. He made over $160 million when he was in the Trump White House because he was in the White House. He made over $6 million just by forcing the Secret Service to stay in his damn hotels. You think this isn't a grift?
At marked up prices, like 300%. Yes. Oh, the government's going to be paying the bill. Well,
charge him triple.
Charge him more because that's what every good steward of governmental dollars does, right? And this is a guy who's going to what? Clean? He's going to drain the swamp. He's going to have Mexico pay for the wall.
He is the swamp.
Of course he is.
A swamp of one. Everywhere he goes, he leaves like a trail of swamp behind him.
An oil slick.
I can't believe we're here. Happy election eve, y'all. I love every single one of you, conservatives included. Please vote your heart tomorrow. It is a private and personal endeavor. It is your vote to save democracy, to respect our veterans, to respect those who serve, to respect yourself and your neighbors, to respect those who believe differently, to love one another, to treat one another as you would want to be treated. There is only one choice tomorrow. Please vote your heart. I'm Maggie Dawn. You got Dom Salvia coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for democracy. Go vote, y'all.
tracks deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.